Welcome to everyone this morning. We have two guests with us this morning who will be sharing in the service later on, Carla Richards and Krista Gerber. So we welcome you this morning, and we're glad you're here with us. At this time, we ask that you prepare your minds and hearts for our time of anticipation to prepare ourselves for the rest of the worship service. Call to worship this morning, I am reading Psalm 8, leading into our sermon and into the scripture reading. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. What are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Let us pray. Almighty and Creator God, we give you praise and thanks this morning for all you are, for the wonderful works you have done, the works you are doing now, and all that you will be doing in the future. Where can we look but to you for strength, wisdom, understanding, and guidance for each day? Bless this service, be here with us, and direct those of us leading in worship that we would bring you the glory you deserve. Amen. This time, we ask the chorister to come forward for our hymns.
Good morning. We'll be opening service in hymn this morning with hymn number 98, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. And we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. And then following hymn 98, we will turn in the same blue hymnal to hymn 156, All Things Bright and Beautiful. And we'll sing all verses. So let's please stand.
Thank you.
I mentioned before that Krista and Carla are going to be sharing with us this morning, but I forgot to mention that they work for MCC and are the managing team at the New Hamburg Thrift Center. So welcome again, and Carla, we look forward to you as you share with the children, and we ask the children to come forward. Or Krista.
That's okay.
Whatever.
Good morning. How is everyone this morning on this wintry cold morning? Good. Well, I'm here to talk a little bit about the thrift store. How many of you have been to the New Hamburg thrift store before? Almost everybody. And how many of you have had to clean your room at some point and bring stuff over to the thrift store? Okay, well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I've asked a friend to come and help me. Now, he normally goes to Wellesley Mennonite Church, which is where I go, and he's kind of grouchy, but I still asked him to come anyway, so hopefully he will be in a good mood. Good morning, Carl. I said good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, how do you think I am for someone who's been shoved in a suitcase in a storage closet for over a year?
So you're grouchy.
You got that right.
Well, this is Carl, everybody, and he comes out once a year to the Wellesley Apple Butter and Cheese Festival, where he's one of the puppets there in the puppet show, and he's been doing that for over 30 years. But Carl is only really 7 years old.
Yeah. Time goes slowly when you're shoved in a suitcase in a storage closet.
You'll be all right, Carl. So anyways, I hear your mom asked you to help clean out the storage closet.
You got that right, and I wasn't very impressed because the squirrel puppet didn't have to help at all because all he does is hide nuts.
Well, that's how it goes with squirrels, Carl. So this is the bag of stuff you're donating?
Oh, yeah, and it's some pretty good junk.
Well, why would you give junk to the thrift store?
Well, that's what it's all about. You give them all the junk you don't want anymore.
Well, actually, we actually are always looking for good quality donations.
Well, don't bother looking in that bag then.
Well, let's see what you got. Well, this looks like a really good book, Carl.
Yeah, just don't look inside.
Why? Oh, you've written your name all over it, Carl. And, oh yeah, and what? What's with this page?
Yeah, Mr. Squirrel ate that page.
Well, how are we going to use this book at the thrift store, Carl? No one's going to want to buy a book, and you drew mustaches on everybody on the front cover.
Well, don't you have a really good recycling program down there?
You're right, Carl, we do. And we will be able to take this book and rip out all those pages and recycle them.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Okay. Well, this looks like a very good donation, Carl. Skates, and they're even seasonally appropriate. Do you know that a lot of people bring us things that are not seasonally appropriate? Right now, people are trying to donate us their Christmas trees, their Christmas decorations. They're trying to bring us in polka dot bikinis. But skates are a great donation for this time of year.
Yeah.
So why are you getting rid of these?
Well, take a look. I don't even have legs.
Well, that's a good reason to get rid of the skates. What about this crummy old tin?
I don't know. My Aunt Bernice made me some fruitcake at Christmas, and it was in that crummy old tin, and we didn't eat it for years, and it made the tin go rusty.
Wow. You're very lucky, Carl, because at the thrift store, we have a recycling program that recycles metal. So even though it's not in the greatest of shape, we'll still take that too. Oh, wow.
My mother put that in there. That's my favorite Transformers t-shirt.
Well, it's not in the greatest of shape, Carl. It's got a lot of stains and it's stretched all out to nothing.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you're lucky with this one too because we have an amazing wipes program and people will cut up this t-shirt and sell it to different groups of people to use as a rag.
Well, then forget it. I'm keeping it if you're turning it into a rag.
Okay. Well, these look like nice jeans, Carl. Why would you get rid of these?
Well, the buttons are totally not working and the fly doesn't work anymore either.
Well, thanks a lot for that donation, Carl.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, you're lucky with this too because we make mats at the store out of old jeans so we can cut them up into strips and turn them into a mat.
Well, that's amazing. How many people does it take to turn a pair of jeans into a mat?
It takes 13 volunteers to do that.
Well, that's incredible.
Now, Carl, what is with this?
That's my old ball. I played hockey with it way too much.
Well, and what happened here?
My dog ate it.
Do you think this is something anybody can use?
Probably not.
Can you think of any way we could recycle this?
Probably not.
So, what is it?
What do you think it is?
I think it's garbage.
I think so too.
Well, guess what? Sometimes garbage is just garbage. And sometimes at the thrift store, we ask you to just throw your own garbage out so that we don't have to ask our volunteers to handle something that is just obviously garbage.
Oh, yeah, I guess they're busy people and they don't want to handle other people's garbage.
You got that right. But sometimes it's hard to know what's recyclable and what's garbage. So you can always give us a call.
Oh, yeah, you could if you had a phone in your storage closet, but I don't, so I couldn't call.
Oh, well, that's a good excuse for you, Carl. Well, Carl, thank you for coming to Nith Valley.
Oh, does this mean I get shoved back in the closet?
That's what this means, until we get invited to the next church.
Well, bye, boys and girls. Thanks for coming. And I'm going to go back into a dark, dreary suitcase till I get invited out again. So, bye, everybody.
Goodbye, Carl. So, did you guys learn a little something about what we take at the thrift store? Okay, does it make you want to go home and clean out your bedrooms? Your toy rooms? The kitchen? Great. We'll see you at the thrift store, okay? Thank you for coming on up here and listening to me and Carl.
Thank you, Krista and Carl. We'll have another hymn this morning.
Hymn 46 in our blue hymnal. Hymn 46, I sing the mighty power of God.
The scripture this morning is taken from Genesis verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. And now Carla will have to hear your message.
Thanks, Lori. Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting us to be here on your service this morning. Krista and I like getting out of the store and coming to see some friendly faces. There's a few that I recognize a little more than others in the congregation this morning, but we appreciate being here. Don't worry about the name, the Krista Carla thing. I think when we were brought onto this team, that was intentional, just to mess up our volunteers who call us by either name, and we just answer because it's been so long. I consider myself to be 29, although I fear I'm not, so I do need these lately. Organic, GMO, renewable energy, global warming, greenhouse gases, ecotourism, biofuels, ozone layer depletion, global footprints. While lots of buzzwords and topics and issues that can seem confusing and sometimes overwhelming, we are continually inundated with information in the media, in our schools, in our workplaces, about our impact on the environment. Often the underlying message is one of destruction and a hopeless future. But is there a little hope here after all? Being eco-friendly is a very positive thing. We have been taught that small changes can make a big difference, and we know this is true. People are being made aware of some serious global concerns and are feeling empowered to do something about it. And as Christians, do we have a role or a responsibility in this environmental movement? Historically, we've been leaders in this field all along. Mennonites have been often viewed as adopting a simple living in the world but not of the world approach, a minimalistic lifestyle. But are we, as progressive Mennonites, still leaders today? The invention of the green bin and plastic countertop compost bucket is almost laughable. This was anything but new in our house. As long as I can remember, we have always had a bucket under the sink, sometimes stinky, that either my brother and I were called upon to empty each day. My grandparents on the farm were always composting. It's simply part of farming. Whatever we didn't eat ended up heading to the garden or the chicken, pigs, dogs, cats, or somewhere else that it can be used, like pure organic fertilizer. Nothing wasted, just used in a different capacity. I think the same is true when it came to regular household items. Today we've been trained to reduce, reuse, recycle. Haven't thrifty people always been doing this? I think we've really lost the reuse portion of that trinity in today's society. My past memories of bedsheets that were getting thinner and going on to being something else, rags, doll clothes, shop towels, you name it. Mending jeans and darning socks, every mother had a sewing machine. Today that's considered a hobby. A wonderful children's book was written by Phoebe Gilman, Something for Nothing, and it's an absolute Something from Nothing. It's an absolute favorite of mine, and if you haven't read it, regardless of your age, I would encourage you to do so. Both my grandmas and my mom had huge gardens and canned all summer long. Jars reused again and again, with no garbage created through the mountains of packaging. Our lunch boxes had a variety of containers, disposable pudding cups, drinking boxes, and wrappers of any kind were virtually unheard of. Although I always got saran wrap and some of my cool friends got the plastic wrap, but ours was just, traumatizing as a child, I guess. Garbage handling was a whole different story. Through my work at the New Hamburg Thrift Center, I've become aware of the garbage crisis in the Waterloo region and what we're facing. Due to our continued growth in this area, we are now producing far more than we can bury. And the ripple effect of this is starting to be felt in many ways. Real estate to establish a new landfill site, nobody wants that next door to them. Purchasing tickets for trash pickup, depending on where you live, you might already be doing that now. And the relationship that we have with the region will be changing because of the volume, the pressures that are in place. Years ago, garbage was different. You would think I was 100 years old the way that I talk, I get that, but it really was. I love those old recycled oil drums that were used as outdoor garbage fires. Throw in it whatever wouldn't be eaten by something else, plus some cardboard, perhaps a little bit of used oil. Put it in the drum and light it on fire. I can tell by the chuckle, some of you have done that. Maybe you're still doing that. If some plastic ended up in there, it sure stunk a little, but it didn't last long. In reflection, some things that we burned were probably not the best for the environment by today's standard, but the point is we dealt with our own garbage. And because it was up to you to do something with it, you produced as little as possible. Times have changed, and my good memories were a lot of work for the adults in my life. I likely have an idealistic view as I age and process how things have changed. I'm certainly glad to have a grocery store nearby, open whenever I need it, and regular garbage pickup that I don't need to think about it. But I also know that there are other areas where I question whether I'm doing all I can to protect what God has trusted us to look after. The text from Genesis that was read earlier speaks of God lovingly creating the earth and that it was good. I guess we could say that he was proud of his accomplishment. Then he goes on to create man from the earth to take care of his creation. He speaks of creating food sources for man and for animals so all will be fed. Is this what God has provided us and asked to care for? And are we holding up our end of the bargain? Are we acting irresponsibly with something that God has trusted to humanity? When God looks at the world now and all he has created, is it still good as in Genesis 1 to 31? We have been taught that God is revealed through creation. We can see him all in all things good. The beauty of majestic mountains, wooded forests, the sound of nature all around. The mystery of oceans, birds in flight. I experienced this firsthand on a trip to the Grand Canyon a few years back. I had seen many pictures, but I was not at all prepared for the overwhelming spiritual experience I encountered. I enjoyed many hours of quiet reflection alone, perched a mile above the ground, life-changing, breathtaking. If you traveled west, I'm sure you will share my experience of seeing the Rocky Mountains for the first time, or on a local drive through the country in our area in the fall, the incredible beauty of the changing leaves. At this time of year, the glimmering trees covered in ice and snow. We are thankful to God for this created beauty through which he reveals himself. And yes, it is good. Over the years, MCC has been active in a variety of ways regarding environmental issues. One program that started off as a temporary short-term idea in 1972, it was supposed to last 3 to 6 months, is still alive and well today. And that's thrift shops. Through the use of thrift shops, we take the reduce, reuse, recycle to a whole new level. For 43 years, our shops have been finding new homes and new uses for items that people are looking to discard. You may not be aware, but MCC and the New Hamburg Thrift Center views Nith Valley Mennonite Church as a supporting church. Years ago, it was our local area supporting churches which governed the thrift shops with volunteer leadership. Today, we look at our supporting churches for prayer support, volunteers, communicating our stories for shoppers and donors. Our operations council still has supporting churches as part of its leadership, but it too has changed as the relationship with congregations has changed over the years. When I first came to MCC 15 years ago, working with all the thrift shops in Ontario, I was surprised when people asked me, is everyone allowed to shop in a thrift store, or should we leave that for people that can't afford things? Boy, I guess thrift has really evolved over the years, from providing low-cost options to the community, to today, where it's a practice encouraged for everyone to be good stewards of resources, keeping as much out of landfill as possible, all while raising money for MCC. I don't want my time here to be about just encouraging you to shop at an MCC store, although if you'd like to, that'd be fantastic. Rather than to have you ponder your role as the trusted humanity to look after God's creation, we continue to see trends in fashion, toys, household furnishings, and electronics that tend to sweep through and touch us all. We all want to be accepted and fit in, and I fear our society and media are driving our being more than our own sense of purpose and journey on earth. It's quite something to see the volume of donations that come through the back door, and we shake our heads with wonder over the number of similar trendy items that we see day after day. This really hit home for me many years ago with my son, who was only 4 years old. He asked me to buy him a pair of Croc shoes. He had just started kindergarten and was getting his first experience of the need to fit in, and he wanted to be like everyone else. I never did buy those Crocs for him, but I told him not to worry, that in 6 months to 1 year, we'll have so many Crocs at the thrift store, we won't know what to do with them all. The same is true with clothing trends, electronics, decorating trends, etc. Is it wrong to own a pair of Crocs? No, absolutely not. But just ponder why you bought the Crocs in the first place. In chapter 2, the book of Ecclesiastes, we hear from a writer who doesn't have too many positive things to say about life in general. Throughout the book, he rambles on about many different topics in somewhat of a depressing manner. I'm always intrigued by this book, and encourage you to spend some time with it, if it's not one that you're familiar with, to see how the writer ponders so many years ago things that are still so relevant today. In chapter 2, the writer touches on the accumulation of wealth. So let me read chapter 2, starting verses 4 to 11. I did some great things. I built houses and planted vineyards. I had flower gardens and orchards full of trees. I had pools where I could get water for the trees. I owned slaves, and their sons and daughters became my slaves. I had more sheep and goats than anyone who had ever lived in Jerusalem. Foreign rulers bought me silver, gold, and precious treasures. Men and women sang for me. I had many wives who gave me great pleasure. I was the most famous person who had ever lived in Jerusalem, and I was very wise. I got whatever I wanted, I did whatever made me happy, but most of all, I enjoyed my work. Then I thought about everything I had done, including all the hard work, and it was simply chasing the wind. Even in biblical times, the writer talks about gathering property, homes, vineyards, orchards, personal access to water, bought lots of slaves, had many wives to give him pleasure. Even highlights that he had more sheep and goats than anyone in Jerusalem. Could that be translated today into extra large home, cottage, swimming pool, big screen TV, iPods, expensive cars, the latest designer clothes? He's a famous and important man that has foreign rulers bringing him silver and gold and precious treasures, but still is frustrated because he feels like he's just chasing the wind. Have you ever felt like your quest for accumulations of things is fruitless? This desire to accumulate has created a multitude of problems. There is even a television show that allows viewers to enter the private homes of so-called hoarders so that we can find entertainment in individuals who battle with obsessive-compulsive behaviors, anxiety issues, and other mental health issues. It has also created a multi-million dollar industry, reselling discarded unwanted merchandise. In 1972, MCC in Manitoba was faced with a challenge of what to do with surplus donations that could no longer be shipped overseas. From that short-term challenge came the realization that a retail business model could be formed to generate funds to support the work of Mennonite Central Committee. Ever since, volunteers have worked tirelessly to keep things out of landfill and provide reasonably priced merchandise to our community. This concept has also been very popular with the private sector. Many stores have popped up across North America and are raking in millions, even with paid staff. Many are purely for profit with no charitable connection. You may want to dig a little deeper into your favorite secondhand store to understand where those proceeds go. The other side of the profit coin are clothing recyclers. They buy clothing, toys, shoes, etc. from secondhand stores, pay the stores by weight, and bail them for overseas shipments. These businesses are for profit as well and are selling merchandise to dealers in third world countries. With the volume of surplus donations by our overconsumption, we have created a demand for these types of businesses. So this begs a bigger question. Why do we have so much excess? Why are MCC thrift shops in Ontario often overwhelmed with the amount that is cast off? As the writer in Ecclesiastes says, he feels like he's just chasing the wind. If we know our happiness and salvation is found in Christ, then why do we get so caught up in the material demands of today? Human nature? Maybe. Self-control? Maybe. Caring what our neighbors think? Some of our supporters and volunteers believe that the solution to our volume of donations is to expand again and build on our existing 16,000 square foot building. I believe our solution is more long term in tackling the question, when is enough enough? It's our consumerism that is creating the volume. So why do we buy so much? Can we start by examining this question and perhaps begin to make those small changes that make such a big difference? Can we teach our children and grandchildren about consumerism and overconsumption and have discussions around trying not to get caught up in it? I belong to an advocacy group who initiated Buy Nothing Day, which is an international day of protest against consumerism. The idea is to spend a day without spending. Can you believe that originally when this group, which is called Adbusters, went to purchase television advertising space to get this message out, it was denied by every major network except from CNN. The whole concept was perceived as such a threat. Buy Nothing Day purposely coincides with Black Friday, a day which was once a very American weekend, but has now taken Canada by storm. Adbuster states, it's not just about changing your habits for one day, but about starting a lasting lifestyle commitment to consuming less and producing less waste. If I revisit the instructions in the Genesis text about taking care of what God created for us, how can we honor that request? Traditionally, Mennonites have been leaders in initiatives, and it would be great to see our biblical call for creation grow. Can our church take a leadership role in environmental issues? Simple measures such as garbage-free potlucks, become involved with advocacy to our governments, organize congregational events to participate in environmental cleanup efforts, consider alternative energy options for our buildings, print less paper handouts, organize a Sunday morning carpool program. Possibilities are endless. We just have to dream and do our part as a church. How else can you personally make a difference as a Christian caring for creation? Well, let's first decide not to participate in this Western society and gross overconsumption, overpollution, and overconsumerism. Be a champion in all efforts to protect what God has given us. Clean up neighborhoods, buy food locally, and be an energy and water saver. Teach your children about preserving God's gift. The earlier we get them started, the more second nature it will be for them as adults. Become a regular shopper at an MCC thrift shop. Start with the reuse concept before simply heading to a retailer to buy new. Who knows, you may just find something else you can't live without. Or, if you wanted to provide a meal for someone as a way to show support, why not purchase a casserole dish in our shop for a couple of dollars and invite the person to keep it? MCC benefits from your purchase. The recipient doesn't need to track who to give the dish back to. And we're not purchasing disposable plastic and aluminum dishes. If the recipient donates the dish back to the shop, that's okay too. It's all part of the recycling. Purchase a hand-woven floor mat that's made of unsaleable clothing, a quilt, a comforter, or a new item as a gift, or for you to support our recycling efforts. Donate your time to our shop, help process donations, and see firsthand the crisis that we are dealing with on a daily basis. I honestly believe that volunteers who have worked in our shops view their shopping habits and conservation very differently than before they started volunteering. And I can point out a few of them if you don't know people in your congregation who volunteer. For students or people working, remember, we accept volunteers on Friday evenings and Saturdays in addition to our regular work week during the day. Pray for our earth, our shops, our society, that perhaps our efforts will catch on. Pray that we can change what motivates people to move away from the accumulation of money and things to rather a relationship with God and our neighbors. One environmental activist that caught my eye challenged all people to meet their neighbors, not just the human being that lived in the house next door, but all the creatures that share that same natural space with them. Insects, birds, squirrels, ducks, you name it, and see how the impact of your subdivision or your existence has affected their place in God's creation. Thank you so much for inviting us to share your worship time this morning at Nith Valley. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Carla, for sharing this morning, and Krista for sharing as well. In response to the message this morning, we're going to sing hymn 299 in our blue hymnal, New Earth, Heavens New.
Would the ushers come forward to collect the offering? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how generous you are in giving us the things we need. You are not tight-fisted, but open your hands freely. This is a lesson for us. Help us to trust you enough to believe in your ability to provide for us the way you did for the people of Israel in the wilderness. Encourage us to be generous too in all things and to be willing to share. Bless this offering and may it be used by you to help in the growth of the church and your kingdom everywhere. Amen. Invite anyone to come forward if you have an announcement to make.
This is the last Sunday to sign up for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which is next Sunday. The sign-up sheet is out on the bulletin board. You can sign up as either a guest or a host. There's a couple names in there that people have not indicated how many. So please, whether you're a guest or a host, please indicate how many, up to how many there could be. So we are going to be matching people up tomorrow. So we do need, if you want to participate, to sign up today. The other announcement that I'd like to make is, and I will put it in the bulletin for later, but just to save the date, the women's retreat is scheduled for Saturday, February 27th. Thanks.
You'll notice in your bulletin this morning a number of announcements, but one in particular deals with a workshop that's being provided for free from Interfaith Counseling Center in New Hamburg, right at the offices in New Hamburg at Trinity Church there. And it's talking about it's a mental health workshop on depression, and it's intended or directed at those persons that are supporting people with depression and mental health issues. And so it's this coming Tuesday, the 19th, from 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. It is free, and they just simply ask that you would call the office to register. The phone number is in the bulletin, and you can just call them and let them know that you're wishing to attend and how many that would be attending with you. Thanks.
I long to be able to enter your city and be near the living God, where even emptiness among altars of love. Happy are they who will in your city, singing your praises each day. I want to be above all, to come to your city and seek only thy perfect way. O Lord of the heavens, my Lord and my King, teach me to live day by day. I want above all else to follow your footsteps and sing only thy perfect way. I sing in the morning a song of thanksgiving for blessings they promised would be, till someday ascending he calls to his city all those who in him have believed. O Lord of heaven, O God and my King, teach me to live day by day. I want to bow else to follow your footsteps and seek only thy perfect way. And seek only thy perfect way.
Wow. Thank you, Alex and Terry. That was beautiful. Lyle, you can come forward now for time with the prayer for the church.
Wait, you to... Share any joys or concerns you wish to bring to the congregation.
Last night we got a phone call from my cousin Neil that Aunt Lois had passed away earlier on in the evening. They had taken her to the hospital Friday found out she had an infection, and they removed her from life support sometime Saturday, and she passed away. Then they're planning, going to go to the funeral home today to make plans, but he's thinking of Wednesday as when the funeral will be. It'll be at Mark Yitzhak's, or the arrangements will be made at Mark Yitzhak's.
Not all of you may know who Lois is. Lois was married to Harold, who is a brother to Willard and my mom. And they had the farm just down the road here for a number of years. And the house in the bush just down by the old green school until Lois moved to Kitchener.
This morning, just prior to sharing time in the church, prayer of the church, Alex and I sang a special song that resonated with Alex a number of weeks ago when he first heard it, that it very much spoke to what he's wishing to do in his faith journey, and ideally he would have been sharing that this morning. However, he's a bit at emotional odds today, as late Thursday night he received a call from home that a first cousin of his that lived in the village with him, that he pretty much saw every day growing up and has a very close relationship with. So this 27-year-old, married with two young children, he passed away, and seemingly not knowing that there was any illness. So it's hard to him to process all of that, and he's still working through that. I'm very grateful that he decided to still participate and sing this morning. He was hoping that he'd be able to share this and ask for prayer of the church for his family back home and his cousin's family in particular. This is a pretty significant event for him to be away from home, really the first significant event, and as a new Christian, trying to process all of these complex things that we can't begin to understand or comprehend.
As you've been made aware in the various bulletin announcements and from Terry's announcements over the last several weeks, we are entering in a time of congregational and pastoral review. And you have, I believe, received some of those details, and there's more going to be coming over the next month or so. So we ask you to uphold that in your prayers and as that process moves forward. Anything else? I was struck by if any of you are following the news, there was an attack at a hotel in Burkina Faso, and so that name sort of resonated with me, and the reason it resonated with me is because Ken Cressman visited Burkina Faso a number of years ago, and attack at a hotel and a number of people killed, including Canadians, by an extremist group. So we want to remember that as well. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, we come together this morning. We lay before you all the pressures and stresses of this week and take this opportunity to release them and enter into a period of peace and grace. We hold up to you to the work of the New Hamburg Thrift Center and all the good work they do in this community and others. We are thankful for their mission and for the service they provide, and also for the opportunity it offers for fellowship and community building. Continue to provide direction and support for the management team and the various workers and volunteers and shoppers there, and continue to bless their efforts. Create in us an awareness of consumerism in our own lives and allow us to be a champion in the preservation of your world. Hold up our congregation here at Nith Valley as we enter into a period of congregational pastoral evaluation. Guide us in this process and allow us to find ways to seek growth in personal, professional, and congregational relationships. Be with our entire congregation during this process. We need each other, we are each other, and we are more than just ourselves because of each other. Guide us in this process. Be with the Lois Cressman family this week as they celebrate the life of Lois and say goodbye to a mother and a grandmother. Be also with the families of the people that were killed in the Burkina Faso attack this week. Wrap your arms around them. We do not understand all the factors and political tensions at play in these attacks, but we do ask you to provide an opportunity for all people to a sense of understanding, grace, and peace. And we pray for Alex and his family back home. Hold them up and be with the family as they deal with the loss of a family member. Hold them up and also give them peace and grace. There are people in our community who are living in the land of sickness, the land of great pain, the land of depression. They feel separation and estrangement from life as they knew it. Help us to reach out to offer your love and be practical in our efforts to comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.
For sending him this morning, we will be singing from our blue duotangs on hymn number 6, How Great Thou Art. Is there anyone that is needing a blue duotang, or we're good to go? Gabrielle, Owen will have one here for you. Is there anyone else needing a blue duotang? Bonnie, you need one as well? Yeah. We've got one more coming here. Bonnie and Dennis. Thanks, Owen. Let's please stand, and we'll remain standing for the benediction. Hymn number 6, How Great Thou Art.
God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen you for every good work. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and dwell within you today and always. Amen.